But today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhuji to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji, I am here. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dandavat Pranam. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Prabhuji for giving your valuable association to all of us. Now Prabhuji, you can take over the call. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Advaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. We are reading from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. We are reading from Madhya Lila chapter 20. We'll read verse number 296 onwards. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, is instructing his devotee and disciple, Srila Sanatan Goswami.
Purushavatarera ei kailu nirupana lilavatara ebe shuna sanatana.
Translation and purports by His Divine Grace Abhay Charana Aravinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: O Sanatan, I have definitively described the three Purusha avatars of Vishnu. Now please hear from me about the pastime incarnations. Verse number 297.
Leelavatara Krishnera Nayaya Ganana Pradhana Kariya Kahi Tikadarashana.
No one can count the innumerable pastime incarnations of Lord Krishna, but I shall describe the principal ones. Verse number 298.
Matsya Kurma Raghunatha Narsimhavamana Varahadi Lekhayanra Nayaya Ganana.
Some of the pastime incarnations are the fish incarnation, the tortoise incarnation, Lord Ramachandra, Lord Narasimha, Lord Vamana, and Lord Varaha. There is no end to them.
Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is quoting from Srimad Bhagavatam, verse number 299.
Matsyashvakachapa Narasimha Varaha Hamsa Rajanya Vipra Vibudheshu Kritavataraha Vampashinas Tribhuvanam Chatadadhunesha Bharam Bhuvo Harayaduttama Vandanamte.
Translation: O Lord of the Universe, best of the Yadu dynasty, we are offering our prayers unto you mainly to diminish the heavy burden of the universe. Indeed, you diminished this burden formerly by incarnating in the form of a fish, a horse, Hayagriva, a tortoise, a lion, Lord Narasimha, a boar, Lord Varaha, and a swan. You also incarnated as Lord Ramchandra, Parashuram, and Vaman, the dwarf. You have always protected us, demigods, and the universe in this way. Now please continue. Purport: this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 2, verse number 40. So we will go to this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam and read
the purport that Prabhupada writes to this. And then we'll stop here.
Purport. In every incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a particular mission to execute. And this was true in his appearance as the son of Devaki in the family of the Yadus. Thus all the demigods offered their prayers to the Lord, bowing down before him, and requested the Lord to do the needful. We cannot order the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do anything for us. Hare Krishna. Let's read this line again. Srila Prabhupada writes, thus all the demigods offered their prayers to the Lord, bowing down before him, and requested the Lord to do the needful. We cannot order the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do anything for us. We can simply offer him our obeisances, as advised in Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhava madbhakto matyaji mam namaskuru mam eva shashi satyam te prati jane priyosime. Bhagavad Gita 18.65. And pray to him for annihilation of dangers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswata Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarini Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Senamaha Panchatatvam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. I would like to offer my humble, sincere, respectful obeisances at the lotus feet of all the Vaishnavas, all the Vaishnavis who are listening. Please accept my obeisances, and in exchange, I beg you, cannot order you, beg you to please, please, please bless me, because you are eager to hear. By the power of your blessings, may Guru and Gauranga empower me for the next few minutes to speak something on Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, some Krishna Katha, so that all our hearts become purified and become attracted to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. When we say Guru, I mean not just all our Shiksha Gurus, not just our Diksha Guru, not just our founder Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, not just all the Gurus in our Guru Shishya Parampara, but all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, including our Adi Guru Nityananda Prabhu and Adi Guru Sri Balramji, who is non-different from Nityananda Prabhu. So Guru and Gauranga mean all these great personalities, right from our Shiksha Gurus, our Diksha Gurus, our preeminent Shiksha Guru Srila Prabhupada, all our Acharyas, all Acharyas of different great Sampradayas like Sri Pada Ramanuja Acharya, Nimbarka Acharya, Vishnu Swami, all of them, all their descendants, all their predecessors, all the four original Acharyas of the four Sampradayas, right all the way up to Nityananda Prabhu and Balramji. And when we say Gauranga, he is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is non-different from Radha and Krishna. So Guru and Gauranga mean, they include everyone, all our superior personalities. So by the blessings of and prayers of all of you, may Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga bless me for the next few minutes only, so that I may be able to speak something that is pleasing to Hari, Guru and Vaishnavas. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is continuing his teachings to Srila Sanatana Goswami. There are three chapters in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita which are of supreme importance to all of us, all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Three instructive chapters, just like in Mahabharata, there is the Bhagavad Gita. In Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 11th canto, there is the Uddhava Gita. Similarly, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, there are three instructive chapters which are very, very important for all Gaudiya Vaishnavas. We should read these chapters again and again. We should study them scrutinizingly. We should try to memorize these verses so that we remember them. And in times of bewilderment, in times of anxiety, confusion, we can recall these invaluable teachings and try to apply them practically in our day-to-day situations. Can anyone unmute the phone and tell which three chapters these are, which are very instructive, and all of us Gaudiya Vaishnavas should pay special attention to these three chapters.
Is it Rupa Shiksha, Sanatana Shiksha, and the conversation between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Rai, if I'm right?
Hari Bol, Hari Bol, absolutely.
You hit the bullseye, Mataji. What is your good name?
Kirtidas Amritaji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Wonderful, wonderful. Yes, these three, thank you. These three chapters are paramount importance to all of us. Rupa Shiksha, Sanatan Shiksha, and Raya Ramananda Sambad. These three chapters, very, very important. So we are reading Sanatan Shiksha. We are towards the end of it now, near the end of the chapter. But very, very important, these three chapters. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching Sanatan Goswami Krishna Tattva. Sanatan Goswami has been taught by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Who is Krishna? How great is Krishna? How great is Krishna? So Krishna has so many different incarnations, so many different expansions, so many different expansions of expansions. So Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Majam Vibham Ahustvam Rishaya Sarve Devarshirna Radastatha Asito Devalo Vyaso Swayam Chaiva Bravishime. After hearing the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita in the 10th chapter, something happens to Arjun. He goes crazy. I would say, even in the first chapter and second chapter, Arjun is relatively composed. Although he is crying, although he is trembling, although his hands are shaking, the Gandiv bow fell off his hand. He could not maintain his composure. He could not stand. He had to sit down, morose, bewildered, confused. Karpanya dosho pahata swabhava prachami dharmasya samuddha cheta yachreyasanne sita bruhitanme Shishyastiham sadhimam tvam prapannam. Completely bewildered, surrendering to Krishna as a Shishya. Shishyastiham sadhimam, instruct me. Tvam prapannam, I'm surrendering to you. So much bewilderment, so much anxiety, such weakness. But still, Arjun was very, very composed, I feel, compared to what happens to him in the 10th chapter, after hearing the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita, 10.8, 10.9, 10.10, and 10.11. This is the heart of a devotee. Devotee goes through so many material transformations. Material energy kicks us, torments us for our own purification. We go through so many ups and downs. But what really touches the heart of a devotee is Krishna's sweetness. What really penetrates, goes deep, is Krishna's madhurya, Krishna's sweetness. Because Krishna is Madhuradipati, the king of all sweetness. Yes, Arjun becomes very much moved and affected and influenced after he sees the universal form of Krishna in the 11th chapter. Yes, he was totally shattered and bewildered and confused in the first and second chapter. But this doesn't compare to what happens to him after he hears the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita. One has to read the 10th chapter to understand what really happened to Arjun. Krishna explains the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita starting from Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Bhajante Maam Buddha Bhava Samanita Machittam Adgata Prana Bodhayanta Parasparam Kathayantascha Maam Nityam Tuschanti Cha Ramanti Cha Tesham satatayuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. Krishna is describing the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Shripad Ramanujacharya says that these four verses, 10.8 to 10.11, is the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And at 10.11, actually the Bhagavad Gita ends. Krishna's essential teachings are completed. After that is just further discussion. But at 10.10, Krishna is saying that Aham Sarvasya Prabhavo Mata Sarvam Pravartate. I am the source of everything. Everything emanates from me. One who knows me like this worships me with all his or her heart and soul, full devotion. My devotees, they come together and they instruct each other about me, and in this way they derive great pleasure by conversing about me. Machitta madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kathayantascha maam nityam tuschanti cha ramanti cha. Great satisfaction, tuschanti cha, great pleasure, ramanti cha. And then he says in 10.10, Desham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam. To those who are in this way engaged with love in serving me, dadami buddhi yogam tam, I give them the intelligence, I give them the knowledge, I give them the realization, I give them the understanding, I give them the Siddhanta, the Tattva Siddhanta, the Bhakti Siddhanta, by which enama upayantite, by which they can return to me. How sweet. Here is Arjun about to start a bloody war against his own teacher, his cousins, his grandfather, the elders, so many friends and cousins, and so many loved ones on his army side, on his side, are also going to be slaughtered in this great war. So much inevitable pain and suffering is going to come. So much churning, internal churning is going on in Arjun's heart. And Krishna is promising him, if you are always engaged in serving me with love, I will give you the understanding, the intelligence, the knowledge, the realization by which you can come to me. And then he has said, Nadat bhasyate suryo na shashanko na pavaka yadgatvana nivartante adhama paramam mama. And going to Krishna is not an ordinary thing. His abode is not like any planet in this material world. Material world is what? Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravarti no arjuna mamupetya tu kaunteya punarjanma na vidyate. Material world right from Brahmalok to the lower planets, all temporary, miserable. Whereas this material world is Dukkhalayama Shashvatam, and the spiritual world is permanent, full of bliss. So Krishna is telling Arjun, you will come back to my abode where there is only happiness, only knowledge, where there is no influence of time, nothing is temporary. Such a big promise. And then in the last verse of the Chatur Shloki Bhagavad Gita, Krishna shoots his arrow of love straight into the deep oceanic heart of Arjun. He says, Teshamevanukampartham Aham Agnyanajamthama Nashami Atma Bhavasto Jnana Dite Nabhasvata. Krishna tells Arjun, Tesham Eva Anukampartham. Anukampa means my mercy, my compassion. Out of my mercy, my compassion, Tesham Eva Anukampartham Aham Ajnanajamtama. Whatever ignorance is there, whatever darkness, Ajnana means darkness, Ajnana means ignorance, Tamaha means darkness. Whatever darkness is there due to ignorance, Aham Ajnanajamtama Nashyami Atma Bhavasto. I personally, Nashyami, I destroy that ignorance and the resultant darkness. I destroy it. How? Jnana Deepe Na Bhaswata. With the shining lamp of knowledge. So Krishna is telling Arjun that whatever darkness and ignorance is there in your heart, out of my anukampa, out of my causeless mercy, I will personally destroy all that ignorance with the shining lamp of knowledge. And just see, Arjun was so much in shambles. He was so bewildered, so shattered, so confused, so helpless, not in a private chamber with Krishna alone, one-on-one. No, in front of 18 Akshayoni armies, in front of millions of soldiers, thousands and thousands of kings, and hundreds of relatives. Right in the middle of the battlefield, surrounded on both sides by armies, in front of everyone, a kshatriya like Arjun is behaving like an impotent man. Just see Krishna's sense of humor. This bewilderment could have happened a few days before the war, when Krishna and Arjun were sitting together in their tent, or sitting together in a palace, or going for a friendly walk together. This bewilderment could have happened, and Krishna could have instructed Arjuna in private. Nobody would have known. But just see what Krishna can do. In public, in front of everyone, Arjun was bewildered. Arjun was crying. He could not even hold on to his Gandhi. In such a state, Krishna is telling him, all your depression, all your sorrow, all darkness around you is because of ignorance. Out of my causeless mercy for you, I will destroy all that ignorance with the shining lamp of knowledge. The knowledge of eternal love. प्रेम पुमर्तो महान। आराध्यो भगवान व्रजे शतनयस् तद्धाम वृंदावनम् रम्या काचिदुपासना व्रजवधु वर्गेणया कल्पिता। श्रीमद्भागवतम् प्रमाणममलम् प्रेमः पुमर्तो महान्। श्रीचैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदम् तत्रादरापर। Gaudiya Vaishnava has said that Aradhyo Bhagavan Vraje Shatanayas. The supreme object of worship is the son of Nanda Maharaj. Vrajesha means the king of Vraja, Nanda Maharaj. Tanaya means his son, Krishna. Aradhyo Bhagavan Vraje Shatanayas. Tadhama Vrindavanam. And Krishna manifested his leelas in many, many places. Which place should be our deepest meditation? Such a deep meditation that during japa, every morning we are thinking of that place. We describe Krishna's leela in that place during our Bhagavatam classes, during our Bhakti Vriksha meetings, during our Sunday feast classes. Constantly talk about that dham. We constantly think about that dham so that at the time of death, we will take shelter of that dham. Because whatever we have taken shelter of throughout our life, we will take shelter of that naturally at the time of our greatest need. If we have a protector, if we have a mentor to whom we always go, whenever we have questions, we go to this guru, Shiksha Guru, we go to this mentor, we go to this spiritual authority who is very dear to us, and he or she has never disappointed us, always there to answer our questions, always there to guide us, always there to instruct us. Every time and again, we have asked questions. Whenever we don't understand anything, we go to that person. Whenever we have a doubt, we go to that person. And then if we are asked a very, very critical question and we don't know that answer, we will naturally go to that person only. Because whenever we have had small problems, small questions, small doubts, we have gone to that person. Now when we have a big doubt, we will naturally go to that person. Because it's our habit. We are used to it. It will naturally happen. Similarly, when we are going through our day-to-day life, if every day, every moment we try to take shelter of Krishna, then it is natural that if during our small problems of losing our job, losing our health, losing our family members, going through ups and downs of life, going through different crises of life, we have always taken shelter of Krishna. When the greatest crisis comes in the form of death, even naturally, our consciousness, our mind will naturally run towards Krishna's lotus feet. Samashritaye padapallava plavam mahatpadam punyayasho murare bhavambudhir vatsapadam param padam 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 yad vipadam natesha. So that abode which we have to meditate upon constantly as the highest abode for Krishna Leela is Tadhama Vrindavanam, is Vrindavan. Let us do this. Let us always meditate on Vrindavan Dham. Navadvip Mayapur Dham, Jagannath Puri Dham are non-different from Vrindavan. Wherever there is loving service to Krishna, regardless of whether he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead or not, we don't care. We just love Krishna. It just happens that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But that Krishna who is destroying the ignorance of Arjuna, that Krishna who saved the chastity of Draupadi,
that Krishna who steals butter from the homes of the neighborhood gopis, that Krishna who is defeated in wrestling by Sri Rama, that Krishna for whom his friend Lota Baba is waiting for the last 5,000 years. He said he will come parso, day after tomorrow, but he has still not come back from Mathura. That Krishna is the object of our meditation. It just happens that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is just incidental. We want to meditate on him in Vraja. Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadu Vargenaya Kalpita. What is the most pleasing Ramya, most pleasing form of worship? Our Krishna can be worshipped in different relationships. What is the highest? What is that highest relationship that we aspire for? Vrajavadhu. Ramya Kajidupasana Vrajavadhu. The gopis of Vrindavan. Their worship is the highest. Because they had nothing. They didn't have friendship with Krishna like the young Gopa boy friends. They had no parental relationship with Krishna like Mother Yashoda and Rohini Ma and other elderly gopis. They had no dasya relationship. They were not assistants of Nanda and Yashoda in Nanda Bhavan, serving Krishna and Balram, no. And they were not in Shantaras either. Nor were they married to Krishna. Nor were they related to Krishna. But they had the deepest relationship with Krishna. So deep that all other relationships were included in their relationship of Madhurya Prem. In spite of not having any obligation, any requirement, any relationship, they gave up all other obligations, all other necessities and requirements, all other relationships to serve and please Krishna. The bhajan, the seva that the Vrajagopis have done for us as followers of Srila Prabhupada, as Gaudiya Vaishnavas, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is the highest standard. Let the world criticize the gopis. They simply don't understand. But for us, the highest, greatest devotees are the Vrajagopis, who are willing to suffer eternally in hell. Eternally in hell. To give one moment of relief to Krishna from his headache. Those gopis who were invited by Krishna to come to Dwarka and stay with him there as his wives, but they refused to go and they stayed back in Vraja, in Vrindavan, knowing that the only place where Krishna can be Krishna, where Krishna can be himself, and Krishna can derive the greatest happiness, the deepest satisfaction, the only place where Krishna feels complete is Vrindavan. So we will wait for you, Krishna, in Vrindavan. No, we don't want to enjoy as your wives, as the queens in your beautiful city of Dwarka. It's not about us, Krishna. It's about you. You are the center of our existence. You come to Vrindavan. And we will keep Vrindavan just the way it was. Just the way it was. As when you left on the chariot of Akrur. All the kunjas, all the forests, all the pasturing grounds, your cows, everything will be as it was. We will maintain it. So that someday you will come and enjoy. These gopis are our highest object of meditation. Ramya kachidupasana vrajavadhu vargenaya kalpita. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. There are so many scriptures. But the highest evidence, some people argue that the Vedas are highest, the Shrutis are highest, the Puranas are for the less intelligent people, the Upanishads are higher. What to do? Let people talk. But as followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam. And Vyasdev himself is saying in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam. What is that verse? Does anyone know that verse where it's said that Srimad Bhagavatam is the Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi Shri Bhagavatam Nishyate Yadrasamrita Triptasya Yanya Rati Kwache. I'm not able to remember exactly, but this is how the verse is. Sarva Vedanta Saram Hi. The essence, the cream of all knowledge, all Vedas, all knowledge is Srimad Bhagavatam. Sarva Vedanta Sarami Shri Bhagavatam Mishyat. It's there in the Bhagavatam itself. This verse. Yad rasamrita triptasya ma anya sadrati kochit. And one who is satisfied by the nectar of the juice of this Bhagavatam. Yad rasamrita triptasya na anya sadrati kochit. He can never develop attachment or taste, rati, for anything else, any other literature. Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanam Amalam Prema Pumarto Mahan. And the highest form of reciprocation with Krishna is through love, pure, unadulterated love. Bhajatam Priti Purvakam, as Krishna is saying in the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita. But when Arjun hears that fourth verse of the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita, his heart explodes as soon as Krishna's arrow of love plunges into the oceanic loving heart of Arjun. His heart explodes. Just read the 10th chapter. See how the flow goes. Arjun is asking, Krishna is answering. And finally Krishna speaks the Chaturshloki Bhagavad Gita. And then out of nowhere, suddenly out of the blue, Arjun just explodes. Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhava Purusham Shashvatam Divyam Adi Devam Majam Vibhum. And just so that no commentator should feel that Arjun is just sentimentally talking all these things, Arjun immediately qualifies in the next verse. Ahustam rishaya sarve devar shirna radastatha asito devalo vyaso swayam chaiva bravishini. It's not that just I am saying this. all the great rishis and sadhus like Narad Muni, Vyas Deva, Sita, Deval, they also say the same thing. What you are saying, what I just said, that you are Param Brahma, Param Dham, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan, Purusham, Shashvatam, Divyam, Adi Dev, Ajam, Vibhum. Everyone says the same thing. And Swayam Chaiva Bravishim, and you are also confirming it, O Krishna. So Arjun suddenly erupts in ecstasy when he feels this anukampa, tesham eva anukampartham, aham akyana jamtama, nashyami atma bhavasto kyana deepena bhasvata. When the gentle heart of a devotee realizes what Krishna is doing for him or her, how insignificant we are. What difference it makes if Adi Gadadhara Das eternally rots in the material world, being kicked by the powerful waves of material existence. What difference it makes to Krishna, who is staying in Golok Vrindavan, eternally surrounded by innumerable Lakshmis. Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambrahma Sevyamanam Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. What is the loss if this lusty, greedy, angry, proud, egoistic person rots? But no, Krishna himself comes for each and every one of us. He keeps coming. Yuga after yuga, millennium after millennium, until the last jivatma is reclaimed. Until the last jivatma is reclaimed. Krishna never gives up on us. Never gives up. It's not that just he comes, but he sends his empowered representatives also to save us. Srila Lochandas Thakur, one of the biographers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he writes, Yadi papi dharma chadi dura deshe yaya mora senapati bhakta tathaive yaya. That if the sinful people give up dharma, give up religion, and they go to faraway countries, Yadi papi, if the sinful people, dharma chadi, giving up dharma, they go to dure desha yaya, they go to the faraway countries, mora senapati bhakta, my senapati bhakta, Srila Prabhupada, tathaiva yaya, I will send my senapati bhakta to those faraway countries, dure deshe, to reclaim those sinful people who have given up dharma. Just see, Srila Prabhupada is mentioned in our scriptures. It's so wonderful. So here, we are seeing how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is given these invaluable gems of knowledge about Krishna Tattva to Sanatan Goswami. And what is the qualification of Sanatan Goswami? Giving up all designations, that I was the home minister for a king in Bengal. I had so many thousands of gold coins. I know so many different languages. I am so aristocratic. I have so much knowledge about Srimad Bhagavatam, that I was staying with my brother as Dabir Khas Sakar Mallik. We used to invite pandits and discuss Bhagavatam with them. We had created a replica of Vrindavan in our palace. Nothing. Giving up everything. Sarvopadhi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam rishikena rishikesha sevanam bhaktiruchyate.
sarva upadhi vinirmuktam. I have to become free from all these upadhis, all these titles, all these designations. He was sitting at the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and humbly, with an open heart, with a humble heart, with a grateful heart, he was listening and absorbing every word that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was speaking to him for several days. That is the qualification. That is the qualification. So Krishna is trying to bring us back to the spiritual world. Krishna's Senapati Bhakta and so many soldiers in the army of the Senapati Bhakta, they are also trying very hard. Why? Why are we not getting taste? Why has our spiritual life plateaued? Initially we were learning so many new things, we were advancing so nicely, and then suddenly we have plateaued. Now there is no more taste. Why? Why so much difficulty? Because we do not have the attitude and the qualities of our Sambandha Acharya, Srila Sanatana Goswami. That is our misfortune. And therefore we have these conference calls. Therefore we come together like this, so we can discuss, inspire each other, share our doubts, share our difficulties, share our problems, and hold each other's hands, and together as Srila Prabhupada's army, as the Gaudiya Vaishnav army, as a Vaishnav army, which includes all the different sampradayas, we hold each other's hands and we march towards Krishna. If someone falls, we are holding their hand. We lift them up. We lift them up. If someone is trying to go in the opposite direction, we pull them back. That pull may be painful. That pull may hurt. The person may ask, "Hey, why are you pulling me?" But we pull. Because we love them. Because we love them. And we see somebody else who is not holding hands, who is sitting by the road, we pick them up. We encourage them to join us, join hands with us, and together we march, we move towards Krishna. Yes, there will be difficulties, there will be disagreements, there will be problems. But if we are sincere, we will analyze why these problems are happening. Why on a WhatsApp group of 50 people, we are writing comments which can disturb the minds of so many devotees? Why we are criticizing devotees? Why we are finding faults? We have to analyze our motives. Why we are doing it? Why it is happening? Why is this disagreement happening? So many deep questions which we have to analyze in our minds. It is very easy to take sides. What happens is, two devotees have a disagreement and the matter comes to us, and our immediate reaction is to take side. Okay, this happened, I think this devotee is right. Okay, let me side with this devotee. And then the other devotee becomes more and more alienated. And that devotee goes and tells other devotees to gather sympathy, because nobody is sympathizing. And then the way the thing is told, with some mirch masala added to it, that some devotees will side with that devotee. And then the other devotee, to prove himself or herself, right, will again retell the story with some masala added to convince and get more support. And then there are camps in a devotee community. People take sides and then let us split. You people go your way and I will go my way. Just some time ago, you were all together. You were all one group. But now it is my opinion versus your opinion. But where is Krishna? Isn't Krishna supposed to be the center? Isn't Krishna's mission, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, supposed to be the center? Lot of things to think about. Krishna consciousness is simple but not easy. More the devotees, more false egos, more chance of difference of opinion, more chance of throwing in criticism. And then our egos, which we are trying to control, when somebody throws a criticism at us, boom, immediately we have to respond publicly. Write a comment on Facebook, write a comment on WhatsApp, write an email, because we have been criticized. We don't take the criticism as a feedback. We take it as criticism. But if we see the so-called criticism as a feedback, as a gift, as an opportunity to improve, then we will not retaliate. And when we are giving a criticism, if we remind ourselves, no point giving criticism, let me give it in the mood of a feedback. Gently, in the right way, to the right person, from the right person. Am I the spiritual authority for this person? Do I have the right to give a feedback? If no, we should go to that person who is the designated spiritual authority. Not with the idea of backbiting or going and criticizing and blaspheming. No. With genuine concern and giving the feedback so that the feedback can be communicated to the person. And then the person is more likely to accept it because it is coming from the right source. Problem is, we don't have a relationship with that person, but still we give feedback. Then that feedback is seen as criticism. And then it's like a small spark in a hot, dry forest with lots of dry grass, lots of dry bamboo trees, lots of fuel. Samsara dava nalalidhano ka sanaya karunya gana nanatvam. What to do? It just starts then. The Davagni, the forest fire of disunity and discord in a society of devotees. And then there are so many devotees with different levels of spiritual realization. They don't know anything better. They are going to take sides. Oh no, this person is senior, I'm going to side with him. Oh no, I have a relationship with this person. This devotee is nice to me. That devotee ignores me. I want to take side with him. And the society is divided. Fire. When we have to correct somebody, when we have to speak against some wrongdoing that is happening, we have to be very, very careful about our motives. We have to be very careful about our motives. Because if we are not careful, there is a very, very thin line between giving a feedback and blaspheming devotees. Very thin line between constructive criticism and fault finding. And how do we know the difference?
our motive and our attitude. Are we genuinely the well-wisher of the devotee that we are speaking about? Number one. And number two is most important. Are we sincerely praying for the devotee? If there is a so-called fight or disagreement with somebody, are we genuinely praying for that person like we pray for our family members? That is the test. That is the test. If we cannot pray with that genuine feeling, we do not have a right to speak. Because whatever we speak will be out of envy and anger and frustration. It will not be out of love. And if we are not motivated by love, we will commit offense. It's just a matter of time. We will commit Vaishnava Prath. And then we will fall down. We will have difficulties and we will fall down from our spiritual path. That is what happens. We practice Krishna consciousness nicely for some time. There are some provoking situations. We are a little bit subtly puffed up with our spiritual health. I am giving classes. Devotees are asking me to lead a kirtan. I am a Bhakti Vruksha leader. So many younger devotees are seeking my guidance. I am respected in the devotee community. I am considered to be a sincere devotee. I can play mridang nicely. I know so many verses. There is a subtle pride because of our spiritual health. You see, if someone is 6'5" tall, very muscular, very healthy, you know, in the pink of health, as they say, there is no blood pressure problem, no diabetes, cholesterol is perfect, no health issues, you know, working out regularly, eating all healthy food, you know, goes to the doctor once a year for an annual checkup and doctor says, hey, why are you coming? You're so healthy. Everything is going perfect. Everybody looks at you when you're walking in a public place. Everybody looks at you, a picture of perfect health. What happens? Very subtly, a certain pride comes that I am very strong. I can win a triathlon. I am very healthy. A certain amount of pride comes about the physical health. Same thing happens in spiritual life, my dear friends. It is the nature of devotees to seek good in others because devotees are adoshadarshi. Devotees are not supposed to be fault finding. Devotees are supposed to be glory finding or love finding. They see good things in us and they glorify. And when we hear glorification, when we get seva, we get prominence, years goes by, we become senior, more senior, very senior. A certain pride comes. We have got initiation. We have got this. We have got that. We have got so many likes on Facebook. So many people come for our classes. So many views we are getting. So many comments we are getting. A certain ego comes. Certain pride comes if we are not careful. And what is the problem? When we have that false pride about our spiritual health, and there is a provocation which is bound to happen in a spiritual society like ISKCON, there are so many devotees with so many false egos. We come together, it's like a bunch of porcupines coming together. Some quills are going to prick us. And there is a provoking situation because of our pride from our excellent spiritual health. We feel we can get away. If my health is very good, I don't have any fat around my tummy, and someone gives me a 600 calorie ice cream, I will think I am exercising, I am so healthy, I don't have an inch of fat on my body. What can this ice cream do to me? Let me eat it up. But you give it to a person who has diabetes, who is on insulin, whose blood sugar is in the 300s, you give that same ice cream to him, that person will be scared. No, I don't want, you know. My doctor has said not to eat ice cream, not to eat sweets. I cannot handle it. It's okay. Thank you. I will not take it. And he will politely refuse. He will keep away from the ice cream. But here, because we are very healthy, we feel we can get away. And then we feel next day also we can get away. And then we feel next day also we can get away. And then we feel it's okay if I don't go to the gym today. I'm already so muscular. This is what happens. A series of mistakes. We become complacent because of our pride. We become blind. We commit offenses. And it's just a matter of time before we see that we have lost our good health. And others who are careful, who were junior to us, are now doing very well. We lost it. We should be happy that others are doing well. But we should remember what mistakes we have done, because of which we are fallen. This we have seen time and again. First devotees are very enthusiastic. Then they become plateaued. Their spiritual life becomes flat. There is no growth. There is no deterioration. And then if we are not careful, we commit offenses and we actually fall down. We actually fall down. Therefore, we have to be very careful. In ISKCON, if you look around, you will see three types of devotees. We'll conclude our talk with this. Last 1 minute. If we look around, my dear friends, in ISKCON, you will see three types of devotees. Devotees who are good examples. Number two, devotees who are trying to be good examples. And number three, devotees who are not good examples. We do not want to judge anybody, but still, in the heart of our hearts, if you are honest, we will come across these three types of devotees. Our focus should be on the devotees who are good examples. We can inspire and serve those devotees who are genuinely trying to be good examples. And it is better if we avoid those devotees who are not good examples. Let the spiritual authorities deal with those who are not good examples. Let us not take it upon ourselves. Let us not become the moral police. Otherwise, because we don't have that relationship, we don't have that authority, what we do will be simply blasphemy, fault-finding, criticism, Vaishnavad. Let us focus on those devotees who are good examples. Fortunately, today in ISKCON, there is no scarcity of devotees who are good examples. I can tell you this. Seek and you shall find, Jesus Christ says. I can tell you, in ISKCON, there is no scarcity of devotees who are good examples. Prabhupada has given us the gems. There is no scarcity. There is no scarcity.
These devotees should be our focus. And devotees who are sincere, who are trying to become good examples, we can draw inspiration from them and we can give inspiration to them with our example. In the third category, devotees who are not good examples, we should pray for them and avoid their company. Then we are safe. Then our ISKCON society will be safe and we will be able to benefit maximum people. It's very important to study what Srila Prabhupada has given us. If we diligently study five books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita, Sindhu Upadeshamrita, we can become Paramahamsa devotees. If we simply follow what Srila Prabhupada has told us, minimum good quality 16 rounds on Tulsi Japamala during Brahma Murta in front of Krishna. As you get time, try to chant extra rounds. Following the four regulative principles on a gross platform, no meat eating, no intoxication, no illicit sex, no gambling, and also on a subtle platform, no emotional violence against others, etc., etc. Physically and mentally, if you follow the four regulative principles, we associate with devotees who are good examples. We try to help devotees who are trying to be good examples. And we study these five books in the association of devotees properly. We sing the bhajans of our exalted Vaishnava acharyas like Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Narottam Lochan Das Thakur, and Narottam Das Thakur. There is nothing higher. Who was Narottam Das Thakur? He received Krishna Prem in the Padma River right, directly from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. His bhajans are the outpouring of his love. And we are repeating those bhajans. How powerful is that? Bhakti Vinod Thakur is Kamala Manjari in Golok Vrindavan. His ecstasy, his love is there in his bhajans. Everything Prabhupada has given us. Everything. All we have to do is keep the focus on those who are good examples and not be distracted by criticisms and politics that is going around. And those who are in the leadership position, those who are in management, let them deal with it. Let's not make their life more difficult by taking sides, throwing in our public opinion on WhatsApp and Facebook, and making things even more contaminated. If we do this in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada has given us everything that in this very lifetime we can realize, we can become self-realized. We can become self-realized and we can go back to the spiritual world in this lifetime. It is a choice. The mercy is already there. Two fingers of Damodar Leela, one finger is already there. Prabhupada is giving us Krishna's finger. Hold it. All we have to do is give up all that garbage that we are holding in our two hands and jump up and grab that beautiful lotus finger of Krishna, which Srila Prabhupada has lowered for us. So give up what we have and hold on to these five books. Hold on to our Japamala. Hold on to the regulative principles. Hold on to those devotees' lotus feet who are good examples. And serve by trying to help those who are trying to be good examples. And that's it. Krishna will teshame vanu kampartham aham ajnana jamtavana shyamya atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvata. It will happen. We have seen it. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is an example. Ladini Mataji is an example. Gaur Govind Swami Maharaj is an example. There are so many examples. Prabhupada is from the spiritual world and he will take us to the spiritual world. All we have to do is apply ourselves nicely, be sincere. And it is so sweet. Krishna consciousness is so very sweet. Our deities at home are so sweet. Let's love them.
Let's serve them happily. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you so much. Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit ki jai, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj ki jai, Nitai Gaur Premanandi, Hari Hari Bol. Thank you all.
Hare Krishna Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, thank you very much for the very beautiful, inspiring and instructive class. Thank you so much for coming on the call, Prabhu. We value your association a lot. So we hope to catch you soon next time. Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Adi Gadadhar Prabhu. Hare Krishna, yes Prabhu. What is your good name?
Yeah, my name is Bharat, and I'm so thankful for a wonderful presentation. Thank you. It's just wonderful how you take time to do this. But I would like, with all humility at my command, bring something to light for the benefit of the Vaishnavas tuning in, and having heard you, I would feel I would do great disservice by not saying what I'm about to say, and that is, Srila Prabhupada, like you said, gave us a way of life, philosophy, principles, and when those principles are not upheld, people need to raise voice. Yes, we must examine very much. We must examine our inner motives, no doubt. We must examine those. But at the same time, what Prabhupada gave, and I joined ISKCON in 1984, and the course of the movement has been quite interesting. And when we see that the basic principles that Prabhupada gave us, like not a single farthing should not be wasted, when those principles are violated, people need to bring that to light for the benefit of keeping Srila Prabhupada's movement intact. It is our service. But once again, we must examine our inner motives. But we should not be blindfolded and just totally disregard what the way things have come away from what Prabhupada wanted. And especially when it comes to money being misused, I joined ISKCON at a time where people just living in the temple, they just served. There were no salaries, there were no stipends. So we have to really, for this movement, what Prabhupada gave us to last 10,000 years, we really need to safeguard against violations, deviations, very important. Once again, I totally agree with you that we have to examine our motives, that we're not trying to do this to put ourselves on a pedestal or epitomize our own existence or edify our own being. Definitely not. But at the same time, people, devotees need to, for example, I'll give you one very specific one rather than be general. But when I joined ISKCON, I used to work for an ice cream store that had eggs in it. So one of the first things I learned through Prabhupada's teachings is that you don't sell meat or you don't serve meat. You don't take part in anything that involves animal killing. So I actually left working at that store and became joined the temple. So now those same principles should not change just going back to 1985. So we're looking at 33 years. Devotees do need to observe those principles, especially if you're in the position of leadership, temple leadership. You should not engage in having convenience stores or any business that involves any kind of meat products, lottery, alcohol, you know. But as far as money coming to the temple, it should be used properly in the absolute service of Sri Sri Radha Krishna. Otherwise, we're violating the trust of the people and doing a great disservice by eventually turning people away from Krishna. That's all I had to say.
Thank you very much, Prabhuji, for your very, very insightful comments. And I totally agree with you. Totally agree with you. Thank you so much for your years and years of service in ISKCON. Thank you so much, Prabhu. Very, very appreciate.
Thank you. And pardon me, I was a bit excited, but it's just especially to guide our children. I know you have young children. I have young children. To keep our children inspired, it is our duty to Srila Prabhupada, our service to Srila Prabhupada, in whatever we can stay, display the transparency, you know, that we practice what we preach when it comes to funding, especially the use of Lakshmi. Yeah, that it is utilized in Krishna's service. I can see, you know, all of us, I mean, I've been a grihastha for 27 years now, or trying to be, rather. And we all need money, Prabhu. I mean, unfortunately, that is the basic reality of existence on this earth. However, that money, I mean, for anyone, if they're totally dedicating their life day and night for serving, then necessarily, and if they're not, if they don't have other means of earning, then yes, they need some money. But it, like you said, this all has to be scrutinized, because yes, I can easily close my eyes and go to the temple or be in an assembly of Vaishnavas and just, you know, take the best out of that. But the new people coming, we have to keep them. We have to keep the people that are slowly being attracted to Krishna consciousness. And we have to basically practice when it comes to money, funds, extreme transparency and honesty in the use of that Lakshmi in Krishna's service.
Thank you, Bharat Prabhu. I 100% agree with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much again, as Sri Tivilasini Mataji said, for a very instructive class. I especially liked the how you said that Krishna has, we just have to grab his finger, let go of all the other trash and grab his finger. Prabhupada has given us part one and we're responsible for part two. So I actually really, really love that. And also the other part that was very instructive for me is that when you said of the three types of devotees, we stay away from those people that we can't, that aren't good examples. And I know that a lot of times I have this tendency of trying to fix everybody and everything. That's my tendency, and sometimes that can be detrimental to our own spiritual life. And I think it's very instructive. I used to always think, what can I do then if I, you know, if I don't say something or talk to them, you know, how can I? And when you said we just pray for them, that was very, very instructive. Thank you so much, because I will. You know, we need to realize where we can be helpful. And if we can't be helpful, then, you know, then that means we can be helpful by having Krishna, praying for Krishna to, you know, to guide them. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Mataji. Was this Gaurangi Mataji?
Paneshwari Lakshmi Mataji. I was listening to her when I was listening to a recording. I listened to her also asking a question. I realized we both sound the same. I wonder if she's from California too.
can I share something very personal with you, Mataji?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so it was very nice meeting you in Sadhu Sangha, first of all.
Likewise.
Yeah. These 2 days ago, we had Jagannath Rath Yatra in Atlanta, Georgia.
Uh-huh.
And somehow, you know, and Jagannath Baldev and Subhadra, they go from the temple to downtown Atlanta where the Rath Yatra happens. They travel in limousines. So there are three limousines. So Jagannath and Sudarshan Chakra were in one limousine, Baldev in the second limousine, and Subhadramai, or Subhadramai in the second limousine, and Balramji in the third limousine. And somehow I had to go with Jagannathji and Sudarshan. And then when we reached the venue downtown where the Rath was going to happen, they were still setting up the Rath for Jagannath, Baldev, Subhadra to come and sit on the Rath. And all the pujaris who were in the car, they went to set things up on the Rath. And I was alone with Jagannath in the limousine on Saturday. And so they told me, you stay here, don't leave, because you cannot leave Jagannath alone. So it was just me and Jagannath and Sudarshan in the limousine. And it was such a powerful presence, I didn't know what to do. So I just started chanting prayers for Jagannath, and I was sitting at his lotus feet, and I started praying for those devotees who I had to give constructive criticism and, you know, feedback, and had, you know, because of Pishya, of course, you know, the relationship gets a little strained. So for those devotees, you know, 4 or 5 devotees in my life right now, with whom the relationship is strained, I started praying for them, sitting at the lotus feet of Jagannath. And then I did for around 10 minutes. And then the pujaris came, and then, you know, we got Jagannath on the Rath. But I felt so good. I have prayed so many times for myself. I have prayed so many times for my loved ones. But when I prayed for these 4 or 5 devotees on Saturday, so intimately, I have never been so close to Jagannath, sitting right with him. Imagine in a car, just two of us. The three of us, Sudarshan, Jagannath, and myself. I felt so much satisfaction. So I just wanted to share that yes, you know, when sometimes there are disagreements, and, you know, we have to use strong words, take a strong stand in the service of Srila Prabhupada, Guru, and Gauranga. But in the heart of our hearts, we know that we hate the disease, but we love the person who has the disease. As a physician, I hate pneumonia. I hate heart attacks. I hate strokes. I hate cancer. But I love the person, or I'm supposed to love the patient who has those diseases. So we love the person who has the disease. We can hate the disease. So we have to really apply this in our lives. And this was a very powerful experience for me on Saturday. So I thought I'd just share with all of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for that. And I was just thinking as you were speaking that, and I think Krishna is more pleased when we pray for somebody who's not really part of our family or somebody who we know, but somebody else, when we are more loving and compassionate to those people who are on the fringes. I think Krishna, too, is more pleased than if we do our own.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Adhika Dada, actually Adhika Dada, Koti Koti Dandvat Padam to your Seva. Prabhuji, today's class is, as usual, Prithi lesson is, it's very instructive and very helpful to us, Prabhuji. So many Vaishnava are not coming in the temple, so that we will inspire them, and we have to follow the good example like you, Prabhuji. And Jai Jai Jagannatha, Jai Jai Balarama, Jai Jai Subhadra Rani, Jai Srila Prabhupada, Jai Srila Gurudev. Always we get your strong assistance. That is the prayer to Jagannatha. And yes, Prabhu, prayers always work. From 8-9 months, we are praying, and finally prayers is working. Hari Bol, Srila Prabhupada and Srila Gurudev ki jai. Because of strong Vaishnava like you.
Thank you, Mataji. I am very, very small and insignificant. But thank you for your kind words of encouragement. And I'm happy to know that you are happy. Hare Krishna.
Dhanvad Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dhanat Pranam, glories to Krishna Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. It's a very, very instructive class, Prabhu. A lot of points you share today with us. I really like the point, Prabhu, you were telling. In the beginning, we were very excited, and then one second. And after that, we become little events offensive. So many things happen, and then we are not very much like enthusiasm in bhakti, but this conference call actually helped a lot, Prabhu. Since you were telling, we are come together, share our Krishna consciousness, it's really helping, Prabhu. It's a very instructive class. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Thank you, Mataji. Is this Vardhana Mataji?
Anjana Gopika Mataji.
Thank you, Anjana Gopika Mataji. Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Dandavat to both of you. Hare Krishna.
Anyone else has any questions or comments for Prabhuji?
Yes. Hare Krishna, Mataji. Yeah, actually, Prabhu, I do have one question. This is actually Gaurangi this time. From New Jersey, from the other side of the continent. Yeah, actually, you said something in one of the answers that has always been a stumbling block for me. This common adage: you must hate the sin, not the sinner. And I don't know if this is just a stumbling block for me because, like you said, we should love everybody, we should love the soul, and make that distinction between the soul and maybe his behavior. But, it's just very... To be honest, it's very difficult for me to separate the two, and maybe part of the problem is this, my conception of love, when we think of loving a person, I think of having the warm and fuzzies for a person, instead of it just, to think of love as just, caring for the person's welfare, which for devotees means, caring for their progress in their relationship with Krishna. The connotation of love is those warm, fuzzy, soft feelings in the heart, rather than just trying to help them progress in their relationship with Krishna. And so, when you say love this, hate the sin, not the sinner, I what I'm trying to say is that I'm trying to figure out how to feel like I'm having, or not feel like, but how to actually have love for everybody and how to really practically separate the sin from the sinner, I don't know if that question was too convoluted, but maybe you get the idea.
Mataji, actually the greatness of a devotee, especially me, should be estimated by how well I can identify the speakers by their voice. And you all have seen how advanced I am when it comes to that. But anyway, that on the lighter side. But to respond to your nice question, it is difficult, Mataji. Especially in our conditioned state, it is very difficult to separate the sin from the sinner. But one way of looking at it on a very practical level is, love means to be a well-wisher. Because we love our children, we wish the best for them. We try to give them the best protection, best upbringing, best education, best facilities. So one aspect of love is to be a well-wisher. And the greatest well-wish is to want someone to become purified and go back to Godhead. That is the highest welfare activity. So if we can pray in that spirit for someone with whom we are not able to get along, that Krishna, Jivara Swarup Hai Krishna Rangate Das, he is also or she is also your eternal devotee, please purify him or her. Please protect him or her. Please bless him or her. Please do what is best for him or her. If we can simply pray to Krishna like that, we are showing Krishna that we may not, you may not be able to call it love, but we are at least showing that we are well-wishers. Like Prabhupada used to sign his letters, you are ever well-wisher. So love is very deep. There are many aspects. One aspect of love is to become vulnerable to someone. So, you know, when we love someone, for example, when we love our spouse, we make ourselves totally vulnerable to our spouse. Our spouse may know our email password, may know how to unlock our iPhone. They have full access to us. They know everything about us in and out. So we make ourselves vulnerable to our spouse because we love our spouse. We love our children. Our children may know, you know, where the money is in the house or so many other things they know about us. So one aspect of love is to make ourselves vulnerable to the person we love. We may not be able to do this when we have a disagreement with someone. We may not be able to make ourselves, to open our heart and make ourselves vulnerable to that person, but we can at least be a well-wisher. And that's another aspect of love, to be a well-wisher. So let's at least try to be well-wisher. That's the beginning. And when we are purified and when we really see that, you know, we are not body, we are all eternal souls, we are all eternal devotees of Krishna. We are just covered by different degrees of material conditionings, all of us. Then our love will become more real, more deeper. Does that help, Mataji? At least try to be.
I think you're saying that, you know, it sounds like you're saying that a well-wisher, a person who is a well-wisher might not necessarily, like, love another person like we love people who are closer to us, but a person who loves somebody necessarily is also a well-wisher. So a well-wisher might not necessarily be a lover, but a lover is necessarily a well-wisher. You know, and we can, at the minimum, aspire to be well-wishers. You know, because, you know, to love somebody, you know, that to me that conveys a sense of deep affection, you know. And you might not have that for any and everybody, you know, but you can, you know, wish people well in their spiritual journey.
Yes, so there are three things, Mataji. You wish somebody well, you pray for somebody's spiritual well-being, and you actually pray for their spiritual well-being and associate with them intimately. Three levels. So,
okay, wait, can you repeat that? Because the first two sound alike.
No. So the first one is to wish someone well, that I wish, you know, I wish you well. Bye-bye. That's one level. I wish you well. Second level is to wish well, but not just wish well, to actively pray for somebody's well-being.
you actually pray for their purification, you pray for their welfare, you pray for their spiritual upliftment, you pray for their spiritual protection. That's the second level.
And the second level sounds just like a more an intensified meditation. The first one is just sound maybe more casual, right?
Correct. The third one is more active. You're actively investing your time, your emotions in praying for that person. And the first one was just to wish well. Second was to actively pray. And third one is to actively pray and intimately associate. So when we have disagreement with someone, it may not be possible to intimately associate. And that's not always possible, which is okay. But at least from a distance, we can be in the second category, where we actively pray.
Mm-hmm.
And the third category is, when you have a relationship, you actually intimately associate with them. So that may not be possible with everyone. It is possible with some friends, some family members, some relatives, and others, we can at least be in category two, pray for them. I'll give you one example, Mataji. There is a devotee, I'll not give a name, Prabhupada disciple, he is a guru in ISKCON. He was offering obeisances in front of Radha and Krishna in a temple. And as he got up after offering obeisances, one of his disciples asked him, Maharaj, what did you pray? Maharaj, what did you pray? Please tell me. It's a little, just on the spur of the moment, he asked spontaneously, what did you pray? Please tell me. Because Maharaj was offering obeisances for maybe a couple of minutes. And when he finally got up, he asked, Maharaj, please tell, what were you praying? What was it going on between you and Radha and Krishna? So this disciple of Prabhupada, this Maharaj, it was such a spontaneous question. He gave a spontaneous answer. He revealed his heart. He said, I prayed for all my disciples to Radha and Krishna. I prayed for the entire congregation. And then I prayed for the entire society of ISKCON, all the devotees in ISKCON. And then finally, I prayed for all the living entities in all the universes, in all of creation. And I also prayed for all non-living entities. So this is the heart of a devotee. He is actively praying for everyone. Hira dhira, janapriya. Whether somebody is devotee, non-devotee, just praying for everyone. So at least we can try to be in the second category. A third category is not humanly possible. Krishna can do that. Krishna has an individual relationship with everyone and he reciprocates. That's category three. But at least we can be category two. Pray for everyone. We can just generally pray, Krishna, please take care of everyone. Please purify all of us. Please protect us. Please bless us. Please engage us in your service. We want to please you. We want to serve you. So that's a notch higher than the category one. Does that make sense, Gaurangi?
Yes. Yes, it does, Prabhu. That's very helpful. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Anyone else on the call who would like to ask Prabhu any question or any comments for Prabhuji? Okay. So thank you again, Prabhuji. We'll be waiting for your next session whenever you get free.